I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jessica Ingram, manager of the St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra, and we'll meet one of its members. But first, Hal Holbrook is an Emmy and Tony Award-winning actor who has portrayed the character of Mark Twain since 1954. Tomorrow night, he performs his acclaimed Mark Twain Tonight in Hannibal, and on Sunday, he receives the first Mark Twain Lifetime Achievement Award at the Mark Twain Museum. Following that award ceremony, I have the privilege of sitting down with the actor for a one-on-one interview before a live audience. And joining us now on the phone from his home, Hal Holbrook. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thanks, Steve.
First of all, congratulations on being honored in Hannibal.
Thank you. Thank you. Looking forward to coming.
You know, because you are so connected to Twain, is Hannibal in any way a special place for you?
Well, sure. I mean, you can't come to Hannibal, somebody who's worked with Mark Twain, and not be terribly aware of where you are and that this was where he came from. It's very significant, too, that he came from this, was a much, much smaller town then, you know, a little dusty frontier town back there. And when he was born in 1835, it was on the edge of the frontier. Beyond that, it was you know, Indians and wilderness. That's where he was born, and that's where he came from. That's what he left to go around the world and become a world citizen. The fact that he came from that small, little, dusty town and became the person he became is a very significant journey, a very significant stretch, because the size of his brain was very large, and he stored a great deal in it.
Hmm. You know, we mentioned that you're talking to us from your home, the one that you shared with your late wife, Dixie Carter, and I understand that you've done a lot to sort of, I don't know, create the image of Samuel Clemens' home into your home. Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know about that. My home is Dixie's home. She's passed away, but everything in this house is Dixie. I mean, this is the third house we've been in together, it's the last one, and the one we poured a lot of our life into, and everything I look at, everything around me is what Dixie created, because she had a wonderful, wonderful, way and sense of how to build a home environment that was really, friendly, and I mean, there are more pictures of the family in this house than anybody ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way she was. People come into this house, it's very lovely, but they feel immediately that it's a very homey, welcoming place, and it is.
You portrayed Mark Twain who knows how many times, thousands of times. I'm wondering, though, how do you keep it fresh, not just for the audience, but for yourself when you've done it so many times?
Well, you know, the strange thing is, it's easy, Steve, because of I'm living in the world we live in today. And all I have to do is turn on the television news, or just turn on the television, to get myself riled up, Steve, and want to go out with Mark Twain and start talking about what's going on and try to tell the truth about who we are and what we become, which is what he was good at, because there's so much distortion of life and so much distortion of truth that goes on in that horrible television screen. And, you know, we've become savaged by it in the last couple of years with this political warfare that's been going on. And all I got to do is turn on the TV and get myself riled up, and I am ready to go on stage with Mark Twain and talk about the human condition and maybe watch out where we're headed, because we got to watch out where we're headed. We're at a very critical time in the history of our country. We have to be very much aware of what is going on, not only in our country, but everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're not protected anymore by two oceans. That's over. We got this little thing called a cell phone. It can start revolutions. and has around the Mediterranean. Uh-huh. And we're not alone anymore.
You mentioned the political climate. Would Mark Twain be a good politician today, do you think?
Would he be a politician?
Would he be a good one?
I don't know if he could stand it. he'd probably be a lot more entertaining than some of these guys. Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about Twain that people don't realize, you know, people get stuck with Tom Sawyer and period. That's it. Okay, over and out. And Tom Sawyer was a wonderful book, but, you know, that was the first book. And he went way beyond that. And it's hard for some people to even conceive of the idea that Mark Twain became maybe the major social critic in the United States at the turn of the century, from 1800s to 1900s. Just look at the books. The Gilded Age, written in the late 1870s. I mean, it was a cartoon version of politics in Washington, but you should hear what he has to say about the lobbyists in Washington. You know what he said about the lobbyists in Washington?
No, I don't.
Okay, this is a quote. This is a quote. I don't change his words. I don't update him. I never update him because it's much more effective if you don't. This is a quote. This was written in 1878 or 9. Quote, "These lobbyists in Washington are called our invisible government, with headquarters on Wall Street, where they understand the virtues of addition, division, and silence. The rich corporations have to be shielded and protected in the Congress, and this requires vast sums of money to keep their political party in power. And they understand that the members of Congress did not get elected to serve their country for nothing. There are a lot of poor people down there in Congress, very, very poor. And they need looking after. And they're an expensive lot. You can't get a thing done. Well, the price on United States senators has gone up so high, you can't get a thing done in Washington these days without cash on delivery." Unquote.
So things haven't changed that much then.
Yeah, I mean, unquote. That was said 133 years ago.
We're talking with actor Hal Holbrook, who will be performing Mark Twain tonight, this Saturday, in Hannibal. I want to change gears here a little bit. You have a role in director Steven Spielberg's new film, Lincoln. Just a few weeks ago, I had the chance to interview playwright Tony Kushner, who wrote the script. And in Lincoln, you play an advisor to the president. What can you tell me about your role?
Well, I played Preston Blair, you know, Blair House from Washington,
uh-huh,
across Lafayette Square. That was his home. And he was, Preston Blair was a powerful political figure in Washington, member of the party, Republican Party. He claims to have helped start it in his living room. And he was a confidant of Lincoln's, and he gave Lincoln all kinds of advice, whether Lincoln wanted to listen to it or not. But the role he plays in this movie is he forces Lincoln to allow him to go to Richmond, because he came from Kentucky, basically a Southerner, go to Richmond, talk to Jeff Davis, and get some commissioners to come up and try to talk peace, because he wants to get the war over. He was desperate to end the war. Well, Lincoln was desperate to end the war, too. That's basically what this film deals with. Desperate to end the killing, the slaughter, the horrifying slaughter that was going on. It was going to go on again that spring. And it was now January, February, and the thaw would come soon, and the roads would become passable. And Blair forced Lincoln to let him go down there and get the commissioners to come up. But at the same time, Lincoln is trying to get the amendment abolishing slavery, the 13th Amendment, passed in the Congress. And he knows that it will never pass, if it passes at all, if the war is over. So Lincoln is in this vice grip of a dilemma, a terrible choice between ending the war and getting the amendment passed in Congress, which incidentally only passed by about 2 votes. But he knows that that will abolish slavery. And Abraham Lincoln made the moral choice, the great moral choice, to solve the flaw that our forefathers were not able to solve, which was slavery. Our forefathers could not solve it because it would have been 2 countries instead of one. The North and the South would have been 2 countries.
Right.
And Abraham Lincoln, it's a long story, but Abraham Lincoln was faced with a possibility, the moment in history when this flaw in our, in all the great things we say about how we're free and equal and everything like that, which didn't really read out too well with slavery there, and he hung in there. And he got the votes.
You know, the movie's getting a lot of good buzz, and Daniel Day-Lewis, who portrays Lincoln. Now, I remember you've portrayed Lincoln a number of times. Did you give Daniel Day-Lewis any tips? I'm just wondering.
Well, yeah, he's absolutely brilliant performance. He's a wonderful actor to begin with. He's one of the very best. And his performance of Lincoln is stunning. It's just stunning. It's beautiful performance. He's dealing with a whole different, basically a different time. The Lincoln he was dealing with is the last 4 months of Lincoln's life. When I did, for example, Sandberg's Lincoln, which may be the one you're talking about, I don't know, it was a series of 5 or 6, I think it was 6, one-hour specials put on. Based on Sandberg's great biography. And it started with Lincoln as a young lawyer, and it followed him all the way up through the presidency and to his death. So, I mean, I was creating a character that was shifting a little show by show. And I would say the only... Daniel had a whole different thing to deal with, and the Lincoln that we get from him, you know, is a man dealing with the greatest crisis in his life. And it's a crisis that is the reason, if you go anywhere in this world, Siberia, Africa, Brazil, and you ask somebody who is the greatest American who ever lived, the answer will be Lincoln.
We'll look forward to that movie so much. I want to remind our audience that you will be portraying another great American, Mark Twain, and Mark Twain Tonight. That's Saturday, 8 p.m. at Hannibal High School's auditorium. Then on Sunday, you'll be receiving the Mark Twain Lifetime Achievement Award at a ceremony at 4 p.m. at the Mark Twain Museum. A reception will follow that, and I'll have a chance to sit down with you in front of a live audience and talk for a little bit. If people would like tickets, contact the Mark Twain Museum in Hannibal or go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the museum's website. And Hal Holbrook, one final thing as we close. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. I'm wondering if I could ask you what you're thankful for this year.
What am I thankful for?
Yes.
I'm thankful for my wife, Dixie Carter, because she rescued me and showed me what a family could be like, what love was, what kindness is, and how powerful it can be to help you be a good person. She's a shining example of everything good that I've ever found in this world.
Well, Hal Holbrook, it's been an honor talking to you today. I look forward to meeting you this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
And next on Cityscape, what's new with the St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra? This is St. Louis Public Radio.